The Midweek Drive Team, four words which signify quality and all that's best in audio entertainment.
There's a siren radio.
What a scenario with that siren radio. Turn up everyone, save a siren sound.
Tell it to the Marines. That was a phrase that I seem to recall being used many a time back in the 20th century. It seems to have fallen out of favour, but maybe we need to reapply it, certainly when it comes to actually getting back to work after long-term sick leave. Some of the figures that we've got here, 16,000 vocational rehabilitation cases, and 86% of those people have remained in the workforce. So that's the good news. The more challenging news is that the combined stresses of mental health challenges and musculoskeletal problems lead to a combined £12 billion hit on the economy every year. Okay, let's talk about the solutions to this with not one but two fabulous folk. First of all, Paralympian, Invictus gold medalist and general all-round wonderful soul, JJ Chalmers. How are you, JJ?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
And of course, we can tell it to the Marines because you did spend over 10 years in the Royal Marines. So this is important from your own point of view. We've also got a fabulous case study as well from Liverpool. That's the wonderful Brian Mahoney. How are you, Brian?
I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. Brian, let's come to you first if we can, because you've returned to work after rehabilitation. Talk us through your particular experience with Guillain-Barré syndrome.
Yeah, basically, coming up for 2 years ago now, I woke up one morning feeling a bit clumsy. Got myself off to hospital to get checked over, and the next morning I was quadriplegic. It's an autoimmune disease affecting the long nerves in the body. Fortunately, it didn't progress further than rendering me quadriplegia. I was treated and times passed. Lots of physio, what have you. So I was in hospital for a month or so and then transferred to a rehab centre and eventually discharged to home. Had the community therapy team visiting. It was a long, slow process, learning to walk again, and being able to get, effective use or much use of my hands. They're still not brilliant, but I'm managing better and better. And all that time, all during that time, my salary was supported, through the scheme that Work Out with Jorik. And I didn't want my life to remain sitting in the corner of a room looking at a television and not doing anything. So I started making noises about returning to work. And the occupational health supplied by Jorik actually worked with Work and myself to plan that and manage my return to work. This week, I should be doing 30 hours of work. Yeah. I work primarily from home, working in IT. And initially, typing a few sentences on the keyboard would fatigue my hands and what have you. But we built it up slowly over a few months. And as I say, I'm doing worthwhile and productive work. that makes a difference.
Brian, thank you very much for sharing that, because I mean it really is an inspirational tale and almost a cinematic one. I'll probably ask you later who do you want to actually portray you in the movie version of the life of Brian Mahoney. But let's turn to JJ if we can. Talk about the military. I mean, you heard Brian's story there from that point of view. I mean, I can also hear almost in my mind's ear present people say, the military, won't they just shoot you if you're unwell? Which is obviously a crass routine. But just talk us through again your own experience, because I mean, clearly you've gone through the need to be rehabilitated as well and have done so extremely successfully too.
Yeah, I mean that history and that misconception in many ways is a long past circumstance. Yes, I was injured in 2011 in Afghanistan, extremely traumatic wounds that ultimately led to 5 years worth of rehabilitation. And it led to me not returning to work within the Royal Marines, but they supported me throughout that process to not just heal physically, to heal mentally, but ultimately to transition into a new form of employment, obviously as a broadcaster. And when we talk about, the types of numbers that you stated at the beginning of the interview, and we look at the, what, 112.5 million days of sick leave that are taken annually, that gives you a sense of the scale, but Brian gives you a sense of the reality, what it is to be an individual that lives with a long-term sickness or a disability like myself. And the types of support that we require in order that an individual can achieve, their fullest potential, and in turn, that potential can be transferred to their employer. Because, I take a lot of identity and a lot of meaning and purpose from what I do for a living, and I did previously, and I still do now. And as Brian sort of was stating there, that it helps heal you in many ways, because it is a big part of that progression and that return to, I suppose, normality might be the word that we kind of use within it. But there's a big sort of loss of meaning and purpose when you go through a circumstance like Brian has gone through, which sadly could happen to any of us tomorrow. And I think we live in this in a world where we often don't think about the realities that actually this can happen for no reason at all, really.
Yeah, life is indeed fragile, but share with us in terms of what can be done, how Zurich can obviously not only call for the benefits of rehabilitation to be included in workplace health roadmaps, but actually this becomes a natural default position rather than something that we have to sort of say, well, this would be a nice idea.
Absolutely. This is about looking at what we value as a society and where we sort of draw our line for what we do for our people. And that, that can be through the delivery of government in many ways, which is what I had throughout my rehabilitation. But actually, employers have a part to play in that, because, they are our smaller society that we are all, often part of. And some of that stuff can be, the types of things that Brian has talked about: employer support, returning to work. Reasonable adjustments. Now, that's obviously a legal position which the government gives, that reasonable adjustments should be made in the workplace. But actually, how does that work in real terms? And again, it's something I knew nothing about because I was blissfully unaware of it. But actually, Zurich provide, those occupational services that make you aware, and they make you know your rights, and they make you know how you can access that support. And and this doesn't have to be for a traumatic incident like myself or a complex condition like Brian. This can be something like, menopause. It can be, becoming older. And ultimately, this is the thing: we're all headed towards more, more issues in the future as we age as a population, and also mental health struggles. 44% of those that are affected is because of a mental health condition. Something which I, quite happy to say that I've experienced in my life and continue to experience. And it's about the support that we can receive to ensure that doesn't have that detrimental effect on our life.
Is this something which impacts small businesses more than large scale businesses or employers? Or is it a case of actually it's just small businesses probably show the effects more blatantly?
Yeah, I mean that is a very good point. It's about 76% of this is being felt by small businesses, and I you know there's a resource element that sits within that, and that's why an external service like Zurich is a fantastic thing to have, because they have the services there, and you can find out a lot more about that on their website, obviously. And ultimately, Brian's a perfect example of someone who has benefited from those services. But the story we're not hearing is how his employer has benefited from having Brian back.
And Brian, would you like to just confirm that, which obviously should at least get you a raise on the basis of the fact that well, you're back here and you mean business. I mean, actually, on a serious note, has it actually have you felt appreciated by your company in terms of obviously going through this huge journey?
Yeah, I've felt a lot of support from the company. It's benefited me enormously, sort of realize, you know, proving to myself that I can still do the job, but it's also directly benefiting the business. I'm there. I can mentor other staff. I've got skills that are beneficial to the business, and I've been able to participate in a number of key deliveries already, and there's more in the pipeline.
Absolutely.
If I wasn't back at work, wouldn't have been as successful, or possibly may not have been delivered at all. So it's good all around. It's really good for me, and it's really good for the people I work with and for.
And just a quick question, completely off topic, but Everton, Liverpool, or Tranmere, or neither?
So I don't follow football.
Okay, neither then.
I go on a distance basis, so if I'm asked to pick, I'd rather Liverpool and Everton won, and then Tranmere, and Manchester's a bit further away, so but before London teams.
It's all good. Okay, keeping the diplomatic thing to the fore. Yeah. JD, let's turn back to your good self. How can people find out more details about Zurich and indeed what we've been discussing today in terms of rehabilitation?
Of course, is to head to the Zurich website and to look at not just the statistics that have been uncovered, but equally, the services that can be provided, and you know the what can be done to, in many ways, change the mindset of an employer and society to actually benefit that idea of we look after our people because ultimately those people will look after us as well.
Fantastic. And anything else lined up for yourself, JJ, in terms of the continuing world domination of your good self?
I'm always a busy man. Yes, I'm currently working on a couple of different series, which are, they're in the pipeline, so I can't quite say yet. And of course, this is an Olympic Paralympic year, so it's going to be a busy summer. And you know, it's in Paris; it's on our time zone. We've got a lot to be excited about in both of those games.
I thought that might cross over. Anyway, JJ Chalmers, huge thanks. Likewise, Brian Mahoney. Also, great to hear your story. Keep on keeping on, and be well, folks.
Thank you.
The devil's in the detail. That's another pet phrase that occasionally used to occur. We get so complicated in your digital devices aren't working or you can't get online or you're contacted and so on. It's stress after stress after stress after stress. So why are we making things so overcomplicated? We've decided to cut through all of the Felger carbs, so to speak, and actually invite a superlative TV personality and interior expert, as well as star of Love Island, to actually comment on this. That's Olivia Bowen. How are you, Olivia?
Hi, I'm really good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. But obviously, this complexity, I think most of us can identify with the fact that 85% of people surveyed in this recent line say that life is becoming much more stressful as the 21st century proceeds.
Yeah, this whole research that has been conducted, it's on behalf of the New Homes Week. Obviously, when you start talking about moving home, you think, oh, that's even more stress added. But I think this whole week is to talk about how if you are looking to move, which can be a stressful thing, moving to a new build is seemed a lot less stressful. Half of the nation actually believe that moving into a new build would make life easier. And I think there's a lot of reason behind this. One of the main things for me, obviously, we're in a cost of the living crisis, and three quarters agree that lower energy bills would make life easier. When you move into a new build, these are usually really, really energy efficient, so much so that you save £184 a month and you can save up to £2,200 a year. And even just that, alleviating the stress of your energy bills month to month, is somewhere that we can begin. You get lots of good warranties, help on deposits, it can be chain free. And I think I just really want to highlight this week. It's something that, obviously, like you said, I love my interiors. So I love speaking about property and ways that we can make it easier for everyone.
Well, as you said, Olivia, the Home Builders Federation revealed that moving home is one of the most difficult events in life. 60% according to that. Also, you've got contributing factors, including uncovering nasty surprises with the new home, worry about the chain collapsing, the cost of moving, the stress of managing a safe. Or indeed a sale, as well as a safe, no doubt. But in terms of that, it's enough to make you want to stay in your cave and just sort of pull the duvet up and say, that's it, I refuse to do anything.
It does, doesn't it? I think that it's notoriously stressful moving house. And I think that's why we do want to shed light on how moving to a new home is not as stressful as moving somewhere that requires a renovation or DIY or somewhere that's not quite right. As soon as you move in, you've got to start pulling things apart. I'm a mum. I know how stressful it is having kids anyway, let alone moving into somewhere new and having to try and change everything. So moving into a new home, it's just great. You can choose your own kitchen, you can choose the tiles, the flooring. So even before you move in, everything's for your taste. And I just think that works really, really well on interior prospect as well, because it's a complete blank canvas that you can then put your mark on. You don't have to do any, you know, fixing a bad DIY that someone might have done before you or renovating. I actually was renovating our home for 3 years straight, and I can tell you from experience, it is stressful. So if you're looking to move home and not to be stressed, I don't recommend going into a renovation.
New Homes Week is obviously an annual awareness campaign, which is delivered by the Home Builders Federation. You're an ambassador for it. How many new homes have you had, Olivia? I mean, you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but I've just wondered in terms of most people say they move home maybe once or twice. I mean, has it been more than that, less?
I have actually joked about this a few times. I have moved a lot in the 30 years I've been alive, and I'm going to blame my mum for that because she was quite the same. She never really stayed still. I think it was 7 times I moved in 1 year when I was younger. When I was 20, I sort of moved from my grandma's to my mum's to a rented. So I'm quite used to it. But new houses, we actually rented a brand new home when we first come out of Love Island, myself and my husband, Alex. And then we loved that so much that we then moved and bought our first ever home. And that was off plan. So that was a new build home as well. And something that we really loved about it was that it was all done and we could just move in. We were very busy at that time. We hadn't had much experience in interior ourselves. So it was quite nice to just move into somewhere that had that blank canvas. Especially buying a house is confusing. I think with all the jargon that the solicitors use and the estate agents use, if you don't really know what you're talking about, it can be very difficult to navigate. And with a new home, you can have a sales associate that basically takes you through that. And we had an absolutely lovely lady. I think her name was Helen. And she took us through everything and just made the whole thing so much easier, so much less stressful. And I could ask her any silly questions that I had that would sound silly to someone that knew that I was talking about. But for us, it was a really vital thing that we had someone we could speak to and not feel judged that we didn't know what we were doing, which was really, really nice.
Absolutely. You've also mentioned, of course, the energy efficiency of new build homes, which I think is important. Could well be a 10-year warranty as well, which can give a certain amount of peace of mind as well. So maybe it is time to actually think about a new home as opposed to a fixer-upper, which tends to be my own maxim. The fixer-uppers can be great, but not if your DIY skills are appalling. I'm just saying.
It's a hard graft. Yeah. I tried DIY. I'm not the best at it, so I think a new build does suit me a bit better. We're actually moving into a new home as we speak. We're currently in rented, so we're building our own new home. And the energy efficiency side of things, there's your air source heat pumps that we have nowadays, solar panels, so all these ways of saving money on a monthly basis to try and alleviate some of the stress that we go through day to day.
Well, always of minimising the whole process. Now, presumably, if you want to find out further details, hbf.co.uk is the best place to go to for Home Builders Federation.
Yeah, you can search new build homes as well, or you can visit new-homes.co.uk and you can see lots of inspiration on there. There's lots of different bits and bobs and homes near you as well.
And ways of actually following your good self, Olivia, for people to actually say, yeah, we need to show our support on X, on TikTok,
I'm mostly on Instagram. I have the Bowen Home, which is my interiors account. So if you need any inspiration for your new home, that's probably the place to go.
Olivia Bowen, TV personality, interior expert extraordinaire, and currently in the process of moving again, as well as Love Island star. Take care and keep on
Thank
keeping
you.
On.
Thanks so much.
Siren Radio.
What a scenario without Siren Radio. Stand up everyone, save our siren sound. From Lincoln to Miami, Paris to LA, our global community wants to hear it play.
Siren Radio.
Let them all create students participate. Keep on keeping on. Save our Siren Radio.
I have made a match. A prince. We need this. Your people need you.
I need you to listen to me now. I don't trust them. They may be royalty, but that doesn't make them good people.
Your hand, child.
Close your eyes. I've got you.
Join a long line of women who have helped to build this kingdom. It is this sacrifice we commemorate every generation, a tradition going back centuries, a legacy of honor and duty you now inherit. Woman whose life was stolen. Seize her. You know nothing of our story. This is the end of your story.
I know that secretly Natasha Wanton is probably just counting the days until the next Godzilla Kong movie actually emerges in big screen, because that's obviously going to be a huge system. But it's nice to know that Netflix have at least produced something which actually does address a whole issue with the return of Millie Bobby Brown. Well, she's done Stranger Things and other things to actually sort of work through the process, coupled with, of course, a damsel who kind of comes from a kingdom which is in despair and is virtually destroyed, and then destroys another kingdom. Oh, there are lots of sort of changes on this. For what it's worth, I'm going to give the Netflix damsel straight in with a 7 out of 10. Don't think it's a perfect movie, but who knows what Natasha Wanton is going to make of this particular number, with, of course, Millie Bobby Brown, Angela Bassett, and, of course, Ray Winston, probably counting his money. Over to you, Natasha.
Yes. So, as you've mentioned, there's quite a big cast kind of in this movie, and there's been a lot of build up. There's been a lot of trailers and sort of publishing and advertising going on social media, certainly, and around. And I was really excited going into this. I've been counting down the weeks to be able to watch it, which always does not lead well. But anyway, we'll get into the review. Yes, it describes itself as a dark fantasy, And I think, Alex, you probably agree with me when I said this isn't one that I would probably call a family movie and be happy to recommend to families with younger viewers.
I think anybody under 12 probably would maybe not necessarily find this the most enjoyable, unless, of course, you actually like, you know, one woman in the dark fighting against a dragon by basically hiding from the dragon whilst actually screaming at the same time.
Yeah, it's got some scenes that younger viewers will definitely find distressing. So I would definitely say this is for an older audience. It's just released on Netflix, just came out last Friday, and it's currently trending as top of the charts, certainly in Australia. I'm not sure about or anywhere else around the world. So it's definitely pulling in lots of people, lots of opinions. It's been a very mixed bag of reviews. I've read the Guardian review, which isn't particularly very favorable. I'll sort of go into the plot, and then we'll sort of go into why I think it might be a little bit mixed. So it starts off, we sort of get this old kind of fairy tale. The knights are going to slay a dragon. They're off to ride horses, and they enter into a cave. And unfortunately, it's a massacre. And the only one left standing at the end of the opening sequence is the king, and he's sort of left at the dragon's mercy. And then you cut through what appears to be several centuries to a very desolate, very snowy town. Yes, as Alex sort of described it, it's very much a dying city, a dying kingdom. And it's owned by Lord Bathurst. Oh, that's it. I think it's got less snow, Lincoln. I think it's got considerably less snow.
Does Lincoln have a dragon?
I would love the Lincoln to have a dragon. But anyway, and you sort of meet Elodie, who's the Lord's daughter, but naturally, to make the rest of the plot work, they've sort of set her up as this sort of rugged, you know, independent woman. She's out hefting wood, chopping logs, hauling in all these supplies for the much-needed. An amazing, amazing hairpiece. She looks so glamorous whilst hefting all that wood. You know, I wish I looked that good when I was working out and laboring. But anyway, hauls it back to the castle. And lo and behold, as they're about to crumble and find out they can't get through the winter, a messenger arrives from the royal court of Auria. And they are offering, very, very mysteriously, to marry Elodie to the crown prince, Prince Henry. And the father, played by Ray Winston, he's like, oh, yes, we've got to do this. We've got to save our people. Right, off we go, onto the ship. And then on to some ominous foreboding where they arrive on the island and there's some strange dragon statues. I wonder why there's some strange dragon statues. Anyway, we get to the castle. It's all very lovely and rosy. And she meets the prince and he's very charming. And they go for a ride. And you get the fairy tale wedding with the roses. But there's little hints of things not quite right under the surface. You get a very sort of waspish performance by Robin White as the queen. I could have done with more of her, to be honest. If you got a good actress, you know, you got Buttercup, let her go. But anyway, we could have done with more room in the script. Anyway, we get to the wedding, and I don't think it's much of a spoiler to reveal that on the eve of the wedding, things don't exactly go as planned. Poor Elodie gets sacrificed and literally dumped off a bridge into a hole in a mountain to be fed to a dragon. And it turns out this is an ancient tradition that they believe comes from the dragon being sort of merciful to the king and requesting that his daughters are killed instead. So three daughters from each generation of royal blood, and that's important, remember that, have to be sacrificed to the dragon. Well, of course, this is a, you know, adventure action movie. So of course Elodie survives the fall, survives the initial encounter with the dragon, but hey, how's she going to escape? She's trapped in a nasty, horrible mountainside.
But she has her wedding dress. She has her wedding dress. Surely, you know, it's if you've got your wedding dress, you can use that in all sorts of MacGyver-esque ways.
And she's very good at solving mazes and puzzles, Alex, as is hinted not so subtly throughout this film. Look, I think there's a lot of good things about this movie. I like the special effects. I thought were done really well. I like the design of the dragon. I thought, as dragons go, I've seen some really bad ones. I like the design of this dragon. I liked the set. I liked the costumes. I thought the music was used really well. It's not a subtle movie. But I mean, if you're watching this kind of movie, you're probably not going to want it to be a subtle kind of movie. You're going to want a dragon and some action. I understand where a lot of the criticism comes from in terms of it literally just being an hour and a half of Millie Bobby Brown running around a cave and screaming, because I can see that there's a
lot
of criticism.
She was screaming too much, by the way. It was just too, but like, you know, you need to shut up because the dragon will hear you, and she just keeps screaming. It's very annoying.
It is very annoying. I agree, Fia. It was far too much screaming. You were going shh at the screen. I would have liked more as well fleshed out in terms of the world and in terms of the other characters. I mean, if you've got Angela Bassett, why aren't you using Angela Bassett? I mean, the entire screen time of all of the other characters in this movie probably wouldn't make up a third of the screen time that Millie Bobby Brown gets. And I get it. She's great. She's got her niche roles and she's very good in them. I just think we could have done a little bit more of the plot and a little bit more of the world building and a little bit less of the running around screaming. But some people have really enjoyed this and it's gone down really well. I didn't hate it. I think the turning point for me was kind of the last 20 minutes or so, I think, or even the last sort of 10, 15 minutes. I felt like that's where it all sort of went a little bit off the rail. I could have envisioned a more satisfying ending. I think that was the thing. I get what it was trying to go for, and I'm not going to give any spoilers. I think it could have been a more satisfying ending, and I think we could have got to a sort of an ending sooner, that then we could have spent more time crafting it up rather than click your fingers, problem solved. But that's my belief. Other people have really enjoyed the ending and thought that it was a twist, but yeah, there we are.
It's not exactly a happy ever after ending, although having said that, there are areas which you could say actually maybe you have a certain revenge structure. I don't know. Fia, from your own point of view, having seen it, yeah, obviously we said apart from the wig, which is not really the best of looks, really. And then, of course,
it's a great color. Oh, hold on. It's a great color.
Yeah.
How did you rate Damsel? Was it one which you would turn around and say, yeah, this is must see on the big screen, or, well, it's okay if you're Netflixing and chill?
Yeah, the latter. I mean, it's a fine film. It's if you need to watch something on a casual night and you don't know what to watch, this is a fine film. But I mean, the ending, it's not as smart as the movie thinks it is. It just could have been better. And something that I didn't really understand why, but all the characters had a different accent, and it's not like the other family had an American accent and Millie Bob Brown's family had a British accent. That wasn't the case. It was everyone just had a different accent, and it didn't make any sense. It was just something that annoyed me. But it's an entertaining film.
It's not a case of Enola Holmes meets the dragon, which I suppose could have been quite entertaining in its own way, really. But if you're an Enola Holmes fan, you might sort of think possibly not. Director, of course,
but
Juan
that would
Carlos.
Have made it that if it had been Enola Holmes as Enola Holmes, that would have made more sense as to how the character reacts, like why she's so articulate. It felt too much like they were trying to push the capable woman aspect of it too much in a character that hadn't had enough build up, if that makes sense.
Juan Carlos Frenadillo, the Spanish director, of course, responsible for this, also responsible for 28 Weeks Later, Intacto, and indeed Linked. Let's turn to our own damsel, because she's literally been outside Lincoln Cathedral in a cardboard box recently, raising funds and awareness for the Lincoln YMCA homeless campaign. Anna Koskinen. I don't know whether you caught any of this or whether it's a case of, look, I've watched the first pilot episode of The X-Files. You expect me to actually see Damsel as well? It's ridiculous. I've got to get some sleep.
Well, I mean, I could just go watch it outside the cathedral, but I did not have time to actually watch this movie. I watched the trailer, and I came here to the show with my hopes up that I'm going to hear Natasha and Fia loving the movie and that I have something nice to watch tonight. But I'm a bit discouraged now because, I don't know. I really had my hopes up.
It's not bad. It's just, I think, Natasha, you would argue it could have been so much better if they'd actually thought a bit about some of the inherent logic of the material and where we were going. And the sword fighting, of course, which it's a fairly substantial sword that Bobby Brown wields. And there's no real evidence that she's actually been working out, other than being in a very poor country, to actually handle that, really.
I agree. I feel like with the right craft, it could, and the right direction, it could have been a really good movie. You had the, okay, it's not revolutionary. It's a story that maybe, you know, these sort of modernized fairy tales with the sort of heroine coming through, that's happening a lot more now, which is lovely to see. It's not revolutionary in that sense, but it could have been really, really great. And I think that's what annoys me, is that the little things along the way that let it down, like Fia says, like with the world building, like the different accents, for example, like if you're going to craft a world, like let's pay attention, let's give it some care. Yeah, that's my main frustration. It's not a bad movie. I had an enjoyable time. Like, I would echo Alex's 7. I think that it's not bad. It's just the wasted potential I found frustrating.
Do you see any sequels in the works, Natasha? I mean, given that Netflix love their sequels.
But where would you go with that? Because, I mean, they
Damsel
sort of
2, left... The Dragon Returns. Surely it's already there. We can put it together now.
But then that would completely defeat what they were trying to achieve with the first movie, and what I interpreted they were trying to portray as the message in the end of the first movie. If we had a sequel with the cycle continuing, I feel like that would be counterproductive. But hey, anything's for money nowadays, so who can say?
I haven't seen a great deal of readings that have addressed the issue, but I did feel that the kidnapping of the brides and the way in which they were cast down to the dragon, you could see as a metaphor for human trafficking. I don't know if that was just me or whether we were thinking that maybe, you know, that's something they were trying to work into the darker edge of this fairy tale.
Ooh, I like that. I like that element. That's interesting. I just took it. You see, I have my history brain on, and I'm just thinking, you know, typical medieval women have no rights, patriarchy, patriarchy, patriarchy. But yeah, that's a really interesting modernist take on it. Yeah, if that was their intention, they didn't do it very pronounced. But no, it's interesting.
I do like the way they show the other princess in the film and the role they play. That was very well done. Yeah.
Moral of the story is, if you ever actually are in a wedding ceremony and they ask you to actually hold out your palm so it can actually sort of have a blood sacrifice, don't do it. I mean, that's the key thing. That's the important thing. You haven't mentioned the sister, actually, Natasha. I think it's worthwhile talking about Millie Bobby Brown Jr. Or indeed, in terms of the actual piece itself, the sister who almost, but not quite. I must admit, very impressed that the resilience of both sisters managed to survive a drop of, well, I would have said several stories in terms of the actual sequence there. But Brooke Carter as Floria, not Flora, of course, because that's the margarine for men, but Floria. Any thoughts?
I liked Brooke Carter, and I thought that for once, sometimes when you see sibling pairs, you think, what's the casting and director done? Like, I get that they, do you know what I mean? Sometimes they work individually in their roles, but they don't work as siblings. I thought that they had good chemistry together. I thought that Floria sold the role really well. Yeah, I mean, she echoed, I think Millie Bobby Brown probably did some coaching and some working with her, and they sort of worked together as sort of like a mentor role. I can see her doing that sort of thing, which would be really sweet and really useful for Brooke. But no, I can see that she would do really well. I hope she does really well going forward, because I liked her acting in it. I bought into her character.
Yes, and Angela Bassett as the not quite evil stepmother, and she's actually okay, who I actually thought was actually stabbed to death initially, but clearly that wasn't the case, basically, in terms of the system. Still, so it goes.
That's my other issue. If you're going to show people being maimed, then have them maimed. Like, at one point, I won't mention who, but the stab with the claw in the side, you know which bit I'm talking about? And then just all of a sudden we're up walking around like nothing's happened. What is that? Is going on?
It's almost as though it was a fairy tale. Anyway, Fia, what would your score be?
I think it would actually be a 6.5. Yeah, I'm going lower because it's just a chill film. I just want In Enola Holmes 3. That's what I'm wishing for. Yeah.
So there we are, Anna. I'm not sure whether that's actually made up your Sunday afternoon viewing for you. I mean, it's not bad. It's just not necessarily super wonderful.
I think I'm going to stick to the X-Files for now. And maybe at my next sleepover outside the cathedral, I'm going to watch this movie so we could have the screams in the background, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your...
That's not being very cool.
Let's talk about A, the sleepover, and B, the fact that congratulations to Anna Koshkonel, because Natasha and Fia, she hosted her first ever Siren Radio solo show on Friday, the 8th of March. And it was actually on location at the Lincolnshire Agricultural Showground, where she was actually hosting a big special package on behalf of International Women's Day. So a double whammy for our Bucharest correspondent. Anna, any sort of memories that you've got that you want to share about that and sort of at least put down for posterity whilst you can still remember before the memories fade and the pain still lingers on?
Well, I don't think the memories will fade anytime soon because both experiences were amazing. I am so happy I was able to, and I was given the opportunity to host my first solo show. It was amazing. It was just amazing. I was so nervous and shaking. I just the memories won't fade, but I could not remember even saying hello in the moment. I was just so nervous. And regarding the cathedral, it was an experience. I met the mayor. I met so many wonderful people there that were all there to raise money for a great cause. And I think Chris Kirkwood, the CEO, did a wonderful job, and we need more people like him and like his team that just are there to do things for other people without any win for themselves other than a great heart and a good cause. I think it's wonderful. And everyone that was there last night and that was there for the first time said that they will come back. And I think that's amazing. And another thing that I would like to mention, Chris told me that he had 100% attendance. So everybody that signed up was there, which I think it's amazing for an event like this. And yes, no frostbites, no anything. No hypothermia. We were all happy. We had coffee that was hot, and I was actually drinking coffee at 1 a.m. and I think soon after, like 5 minutes after, I was asleep, which can say a lot about how demanding the day overall was. But yes, it's an experience, and I actually it's gonna sound weird, but I encourage people to at least try to sleep at an event like this in a cupboard, because it does change your perspective on life, and that the next day you get to be in your comfortable bed.
The fact that many stores in Lincoln were very bemused by an overseas student seeking cardboard boxes were clearly an aspect of the whole thing. I mean, Fia, at least you actually had a bed during your entire time at the University of Lincoln. So, you know, that's the important thing. They didn't say, "Oi, here's your cardboard box." Currently, who knows where they're going?
Yes, it was interesting.
Okay, Natasha, upcoming, as we mentioned, we've got a few blockbusters. What movies are you looking forward to seeing? Or in these Netflix movies? Because we've got Three Body Problem, which is being billed as the Netflix adaptation of Si Chin Xu's classic, which could well be the next Netflix major blockbuster series. You've also got The Gentleman, of course, Guy Ritchie's series out there. Any other thoughts that you're sort of likely to share? So when Richard comes back from his sojourn, you can actually bombard him with a whole range of online streamings.
I mean, I'm very excited to see the new Kong movie. I know the plot is going to be made of tissue paper, but do you know what? You don't go to a movie with King Kong for the plot. You don't. You go for a really good CGI visual effects. And if Ken Watanabe happens to be somewhere in the background, that's also rather pleasing. So, although they have, I think, not to spoil the franchise, I'm not sure he's going to be in this latest movie. So, yeah, that's coming up. I know my sister at the moment is absolutely raving about the Kung Fu Panda 4, which I'm...
Probably more realistic than Damsel, it has to be said.
Well, yeah, it's probably going to have better plot than most of the things produced by Marvel at the minute. But hey, I haven't actually seen the third Kung Fu Panda, so I know, very, very shocking and naughty. So I probably have to catch up on the third one before I review the fourth one. But you might have to get the other Armstrong sister to comment on the fourth Kung Fu Panda when she watches it. She did watch Dune Part 2. Yesterday, and she concurred with your assessments. She really, really enjoyed it. She thought,
which
it was
of course
excellent.
Brings us neatly around to what people who are completists and like to listen to every single episode of the Midweek Drive Morning Editions, film reviews, etc., will say. But what about Fia? She said she was off to watch Dune literally on the afternoon of last week. What did she make of Dune Part 2, Fia?
I did. I wanted to. Oh yeah. So. Last week you were talking about bodily fluids and I was very confused, and now I understand, and I mean it was different, and I wanted to say I love this film, but I do feel slightly betrayed by the end. I'm just a fan of Zendaya, and I just wanted to say I feel betrayed and I understand, and I'm very excited about the third film. Because this was great. I mean, I loved the first film and I was kind of afraid of the second one being not so great, but they blew me away, and I can't wait. I think we have to wait 2 more years for the third film. And oh no.
The third film, but just the second book.
Sorry?
The third film, but the second book.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I think I will just have to read the books now because I can't wait.
Dune Messiah. And if you're going to fall for the Kwisatz Haderach, you've got to appreciate the fact that the Kwisatz Haderach is going to actually look for the way to manipulate the galaxy and obviously marry somebody completely different.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Anyway, Natasha, have you seen Dune Part 2? Because I appreciate, for the benefit of the uninitiated, yes, I was commenting last week on the fact that at least in Dune, they do preserve their precious bodily fluids, and they don't actually sort of start throwing up all over the screen in Technicolor yawns, which is very important.
Yes, unlike Leo, which I reviewed a couple of weeks ago. yeah, I have not seen it yet. I have heard, as I say, I've heard really positive things about it. I have heard that it is a bit of a cliffhanger ending again. It was a little bit naughty like the first movie. What are people's opinions on cliffhangers on the endings of films? Do you think it's money grabbing, or do you think that it's actually, yeah, no, it gets the hype going? Fia and Anna, what are your opinions on cliffhangers in movies?
They're not my favorite. And yeah, I do tend to believe it's the first option rather than the second one. It might be the second one, but like 70 to 30%.
The first major blockbuster that applied this, which I can certainly recall having a major ending where people thought, what was indeed The Empire Strikes Back? Which clearly, obviously, left people hanging in all sorts of ways. I would clearly not rely on Richard to give the spoiler away for the cliffhanger ending of Empire Strikes Back, but what the hey. And Fia, do you like a good hanging over the cliff moment to actually say, well, I'll just have to wait 2 or 3 more years then?
Okay, so I'm conflicted because, yes, sometimes cliffhangers are money grabbers, but sometimes they are also necessary, because in this case, it's based on a book. So you kind of have to. And I mean, don't you just love like being part of the franchise and just following everything and trying to know everything about the story and just being one with the characters? I mean, that's also a part of cliffhangers. It also just brings you more into the story and you talk to people, but what will happen? What do you think? And then two years later, you finally get to discuss like, oh my God, I was right. I mean, it also makes it a lot more fun because then you can actually just discuss it with your friends. So I'm conflicted. I kind of like cliffhangers, but I also really like cliffhangers if I can already watch the next movie.
Or, of course, you could always read the book series, because you have Dune Messiah, you have Children of Dune, you have God Emperor of Dune, you have Heretics of Dune, and then a whole series on the Harsh Harkonnen, House Atreides, and more to actually work through that. One thing I think we can probably safely say, it's unlikely that Damsel will have a huge franchise, although who knows, maybe in 2046 we'll be talking about the legacy of the 2024 Damsel movie and its subsequent 15 sequels. But, you know, it's stranger things have happened. Maybe Godzilla, Kong, The New Empire, which of course emerges on March the 29th. I would have thought it's highly unlikely Richard will have this as a number one thing to actually watch on his viewing list. I put it down to highly unlikely. Not necessarily impossible, but I think it's unlikely. We might be relying on yourself, Natasha, for you to actually do the Kong Godzilla moment, partly because it may be his views on CGI.
It's all good. It's all good. My mother-in-law is coming from Europe. The puppy will get Nana sit. So we've already planned it, me and my husband. We're going to go and see Kong. We've got our babysitter sorted.
And Fear, finally, are you looking forward to any movies upcoming over the next few months?
I mean, you already said Kung Fu Panda, and I mean, I grew up with those films. I mean, Kung Fu Panda. Yeah. That's all I'm waiting for.
Did Kung Fu Panda actually make it to, or Kung Fu Panda even, did he actually make it over to Bucharest, Anna?
Yes, it was one of my favorite when I was a kid. And I actually did not know it's going to come out the fourth one this year. So it's a surprise. It's a nice surprise.
Yeah. There we
but
are.
You know what else is coming out this year? I think Richard won't like it, but Despicable Me 4. It's coming out.
Yeah, I think it's guaranteed Richard will not be reviewing Despicable Me 4. Another one for yourself, Natasha. But there we are. Yes, with Minions as well. All great stuff. So to Anna Koshkinel, and to Fia van den Burger and to Natasha Wanton, huge thanks as ever. And keep watching those movies.
There's only need, I love your need, so much I'm losing me. I cannot see the reason for the pain. With hungry joy, I'll be your toy, just hoping you will play. Without the hope, my body starts to fail. Memories fade, but the scars still linger. Goodbye, my friend. Will I ever love again? Memories fade, but the scars still linger. Whoa.
on a scenario without siren radio. Turn up everyone, save a siren sound. Come link into Miami, Paris to LA. Our global community wants to hear it play. Students participate. Keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on.
Siren Radio.
Keep on keeping on.
Siren Radio.
Keep on keeping on.
Siren Radio.
Keep on keeping on. Save Siren Radio.